there are so many scriptures that we could look at. But as I was just waiting on the Lord, and I think the Word of God, whenever it comes to you, whenever you can pick it up, whenever you read God's Word, it brings such peace. It ministers such life to you. And I'm reading through the book of Proverbs. Don't know when the last time you've read through it, but boy, it really is talking today. It really is. It just speaks to you, right? And so I read Proverbs 19 and 14, and this is what it says. House and riches are an inheritance from fathers. Listen, house and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Okay? Now, let me just dive into that a little deeper, because this is what the Lord is saying. House and riches, things come from people. But do you know what comes from God? People. Come on. People can give you things. Now, listen to what the scripture says. House and riches are the inheritance from fathers. That's what I can leave to my son. I can leave to my daughter. But the Bible says a prudent wife is from the Lord. People may give you things, but God gives you people. God gives you people. Hello. And you know where I'm going, because he gave each and every one of us a mother. And so while I'm reading the scripture this past week and thinking about this, that, and the other, these things, thoughts warm my heart. Because just to think about the thought. And as I read that scripture, and the Lord said to me, I give you people. And then in my mind, it began to go all throughout my life and think about all the people that he brought into my life. And I thought about each and every one of you. Oh, God. See, he brought you into my life. Why? Because he doesn't give things. Come on, can he give you things? Of course he can. But if you ask Job, when Job lost all of his stuff, and God blessed him with a double portion, he got twice as many donkeys and all of that. But if you ask him, Job would have told you, but those sons and daughters that he gave me? Hello. That's chief. Hello. Come on. A donkey can't bray his love to you. Hee-haw, hee-haw. Yeah, hee-haw, hee-haw. Come on now. Donkey ain't bringing you anything. But the Lord, a prudent wife is from the Lord. And as we generalize, as we pan back off of that, not only is a prudent wife from the Lord, but a husband, a father, children, a mother, all of these things, relationships. When you look at how God created things, it's very evident that he created Adam. And it was just, at one point, it was just God and Adam. And the order of creation is also the order of importance, because when God created Adam alone, and it was just God and Adam, God was saying, your relationship with me is first and foremost. First and foremost. But then after that was established, he said, you know what? It's not good that Adam be alone. I'm going to make a help meet for him. And so he made woman. And so that is the second most important relationship, that the order that God made it is the order of importance. So we are to love the Lord our God first. We love him first, right? The first and second commandments. Love the Lord, then love your neighbor as yourself. And then after God brought the wife, then God brought the children, see? And so the children, their lives are based upon the first two, the husband and the wife, or the father and the mother. So the Lord can give you things, but he gives us people much more so than he gives us things. That can be a problem in America. The reason why is because we're upside down from the kingdom. See, so if I said God can give you things, but he gives you people, America looks at the things and misses the people that God puts in their life. That's why you see relationships flying every which way, breaking up. Hollywood, nobody can stay together. They'll marry for however many years, and then I'm done with you. Kick to the curb. Next. And hello. We don't value people. We don't value the people that God puts in our life. And so the word that came to me was treasure what God gives you. treasure what God gives you, because what he is primarily giving you is people. He's giving you relationships. And you know that it's so easy. I know my human flesh, it is so easy to begin to take things for granted. Well, it's always there. You know, when something's always there, you don't miss it. Okay. It's when it's not there. It's when it's not there that you miss it, right? And so we have to treasure what God gives us. So I'm going to turn to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. Joshua judged Ruth. That's how you, yeah. Joshua judged Ruth. And then you have 1 and 2 Samuel. Amen. That's it. So you know where to go, right? And I'm not going to take long. Give me about 20 minutes. And amen. Mother's Day meal, I know, is waiting. But I'm only gonna look at a couple verses in Ruth chapter 2. Let me just lay by way of foundation a little bit. We know the story of Ruth. Naomi, who was married to Elimelech, they lived in Bethlehem in Judah, and there was a famine. And so in Israel, probably judgment because of the people and their doings. And so Elimelech moved his family to Moab to ride out the famine. And while there, Elimelech died. Mahlon, Chilion, their sons, Naomi's sons died. And Mahlon and Chilion were married to Oprah. Oprah is in the scriptures. Married to Oprah and Ruth. And y'all missed that, but it's okay. But they married Oprah and Ruth, and so both these young men probably had some type of what would have taken them, but leave it to say that Elimelech passed away and Mahlon and Chilion passed away. And so Naomi, whose name means sweetness, her name means joy. Her name means pleasantness and or delight. So if you're looking for a name for your child, that's what Naomi's name means. So Naomi told her daughters-in-law, Oprah and Ruth, to go back to their families. And Oprah kissed Naomi and she took off. She went back home to stay in Moab. But Ruth, that famous, my goodness, the heart captured in her. She said, entreat me not to leave you. She says, please don't tell me to leave you. She says, because I'm not leaving you, but where you go, that's where I'm going. She said, your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And she says, I'll be cursed if anything but death separates you and I. I mean, this Ruth committed herself. She gave up herself to Naomi. When she could very well have gone back. And so there's certain parallels in the book of Ruth that you just love. Naomi and all of her people, they left all that was there. They didn't leave the Lord their God, but they left their land to come over into Moab to stay. But they had every intention when the famine was over in Israel, they expected to return and continue their lives in Bethlehem. And Bethlehem means house of bread. It's a house of bread. So they lose everything, and Naomi's so distraught that when she comes back to, it's been like 10 years, they've been gone a long time. When they come back to Bethlehem, the people recognize Naomi, and they said, hey, Naomi's back. And Naomi said, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, which means bitter, because she says, because God. Joel wasn't the only one who suffered in the scriptures. Naomi said, God has afflicted me. She was bitter. Her pain and her grief was so strong. And we're talking years later. Years later. She hadn't gotten over this. She says, call me Mara. And so the one who left as sweetness and joy and pleasantness comes back bitter. because of life's struggles, right? But she comes back with Ruth. You know what Ruth means? Friendship. Friendship. You know when you're going through a hard time? Hey! The Bible says there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. There's a friend. That's why we have that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Because there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And this woman, Ruth, whose name means friendship, she clung to Naomi. You know, it's one thing to go through something. But then it's another thing to go through something with a friend. With a friend. A man by the name of Bill Withers wrote a song back when we, when I say we in our generation, y'all know what I mean by our generation? Okay. He wrote a song that I believe was, I was like, okay, Lord, you give songs to unsaved people. You give songs because you're going to pull a whole bunch of people through a hard time of hardness because of a song. And this man wrote a song and he says, when you're not strong, I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. Be long. I'm gonna need somebody to lead on. Okay, so you understand. But look, that song carried a whole bunch of people through a whole bunch of pain and a whole bunch of hurt. I mean, that the words of that song. And he talked about when you need a friend. He says, I'll be there. Just call me. Just call me. And so that's what Ruth, that's what she represents here in this story. And so she comes back with Ruth and comes back with Naomi. You know the story. And so when they get back, they come back during the midst of the barley harvest. That's the end of chapter one. And in chapter two, she goes to glean after the reapers of these men who have these fields. And she ends up, the scripture says, and so it happens. I love how God, don't you love how God does that? Because, you know, when it happens to us, we know that God had a hand in it. Because things don't just happen. You know, the world has a saying that happens. Okay, no. That's because that's their unsaved experience. But we know that when you just happen upon something, that no. That's the hand of God. So the scripture says that Ruth goes to glean in the fields, and it just so happened that she ended up in Boaz's side of the field. Amen. And Boaz takes notice of her. And that name Boaz means strength. Strength. Okay. You got Naomi or Mara. You got Naomi, who's now Mara. She's bitter. She's got a friend. And now she's going to meet some strength. Oh, come on now. I said she's bitter, but she's got a friend. Things are looking up. She doesn't know it yet. She doesn't know. But things are getting ready to turn around because she's about to come to some strength. His name means strength or fleetness or to be nimble is what his name means. So in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 11, the scripture reads, and Boaz answered and said to her, speaking to Ruth, It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and come to a people whom you did not know before. And then I'm just going to focus in on verse 12 because Boaz blesses her. And this is what he says. The Lord repay you. The Lord repay your work. The Lord repay your work. One commentary reads, biblical writers know of Yahweh repaying people for good deeds. The present case illustrates the principle enunciated in Proverbs 19 and 17, which reads, "He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done." By her acts of kindness to Naomi, Ruth has indebted not only her mother-in-law, but also Yahweh. Not because she said so, but because God said so. God says, if you be kind to the poor, I'm going to reward you. I'm going to repay you, right? And so thus Boaz prays that Yahweh will repay her for her work. Okay? And so let me by extension make this application from what we just read. Mothers, God sees all that you do for your family. Come on. Boaz said to Ruth, God repay you. And that God sees all that you do for your children, for your husband, for your family, for your grandchildren. God sees. I was reading Proverbs the other day. It says, he who made the hearing ear and the seeing eye knows all. Okay? In other words, he doesn't make the eye that sees and the ear that hears and then himself cannot see and hear everything that's going on. That's what he's saying. He's trying to communicate that. No, he sees and he hears, right? And so, you know, we as family, we can do a lot to help you around the house. And the articles I read this month, or the little bit of articles that I read this month about Mother's Day, talked about what mothers really want. Amen. And the things that they want don't cost anything. Some mother said, right? Let me go try on this side. I said that the mothers, I don't know how well that went over. Like my pastor used to say, that went over like a lead balloon. No, but they were talking about the things that will bless a mother's heart. So one woman says, no, you know, I appreciate the spa treatments and all that, but if you could just help me clean the house. She says, if we could just get some of the clutter. And I was thinking, wow, look at that. so it doesn't cost you anything. So we can do many things. We can do many things about the house to help you, mother. Okay. But a question that I would have to ask is this: who would you rather have repay you, us or the Lord? Oh my goodness. Amen. Hebrews 6 and 10 reads, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." God sees. God sees. You remember Martha was going on and on about, Jesus knew all that Martha was doing. He was just very clear that, Martha, there's something more important than what you're doing. But he was aware. He saw all that she was doing. The Lord will repay. And then, you know, what we do, we have to be careful to remember, according to Colossians 3:17, Paul says this: whatever you do in word or deed. Listen to this. Not only in what I do, but in what I say. He said, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, that is constraining, church. You think about that. Everything I say, if I can't do it in Jesus' name, now we know why or where this saying came from. If you don't have anything good to say, as Thumper said in Bambi, as his mother told him, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say nothing at all, is what he said. And then again in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Now I just freed a whole bunch of mothers and women I said mothers first because it's Mother's Day. But that by extent, come on, I freed a whole bunch of us. Or I didn't. The scriptures did, right? Whatever you do, do it heartily. Look, let me tell you something. If you do something for me and you mad and gritting your teeth and all that, guess what I'll tell you? You know what? Listen, don't do it. Don't do it. That is not blessing me. You're talking to yourself and all that. I'll be like, oh, no. It doesn't work like that. Listen, guess what? If it doesn't work for me, you know it ain't working for him. Hello. Right? When you do something, do it heartily. Engaged with a smile on your face. Listen, if you can't do it that way, then don't do it. That's for somebody. I don't know if it's for you, but I know. I know. Come on now. I'm preaching to the choir, church. I'm telling you. That preacher hitting the wall, coming straight back. Amen. And so, but he didn't stop there. He said to her, verse 12 again, the Lord repay your work and a full reward be given you by the Lord. And what's so beautiful about this and lovely is that he's blessing her in the name of the Lord. He's blessing her in the name of the Lord, and he's asking the Lord to repay her. Now listen, a reward can come from different sources. Many different sources. Amen. I'm sorry, I gotta get political. Just because it's in the news, it's top of mind. It's in the news. But Michael Cohen, Trump's lawyer, seems to have been getting rewarded by some people because of some work or not some work that he was doing. I only say that to say that you can get rewarded from many different sources. But Boaz blesses Ruth with a reward in the name of the Lord God of Israel. The question is this. When we do something for someone or some good deed, to whom are we looking for reward? Why do I say that? Because of the law of reciprocation. So when not only is it expected, but you feel it. When someone does something good for you, there's an inward feeling in you that you want to do something good for them. Right? Okay. So when you and I do something good or some good deed, the question is, who then are we looking to for the reward to come back from? Because Boaz is telling Ruth, you were good to Naomi. He says, but I'm blessing you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. I pray that he would repay you. And I'm blessing you and praying that may the Lord reward you for how good you have been to Naomi. Right? So when you read, remember what he said in verse 11, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband and how you left your father and mother, so forth and so on. He says, you've done that here for her, this horizontal. But he says, I'm asking the Lord to repay you. I want the Lord to repay you. In 1 Samuel 24 and 19, the scripture says, this idea about repayment and reward. You remember when Saul was chasing David, he wanted to kill him. Why was Saul chasing David? Because Saul knew he was anointed to be king over Israel. And Saul didn't want him to be king over Israel. He wanted Jonathan to be king over Israel. And so Saul was chasing David to kill him. And so at one point, David found Saul in the wilderness, sleeping. And David didn't kill him. And Saul said this, for if a man finds his enemy, will he let him get away safely? Therefore, may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day. He said, may the Lord reward you. I'm telling you, mothers, when you do what you do. Now, it's nice to get a reward from Shane. Come on. It's nice to get a reward from mommy. Come on. I know it's nice to get a reward from Chelsea and Marissa, but also know that there's a reward that God wants to bring to you himself. It's coming. That's right. It's important because when you look in the wrong place, 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 7, you remember the man of God who was sent from Judah to prophesy to the altar that was in Bethel. There was a false altar. There was an altar that they set up in Samaria. And they weren't worshiping the Lord God within. This prophet was sent. And the Lord said to him, "You go prophesy against that altar." And he says, "Don't go home the way you came." So he goes and he prophesies against the altar. He says, "Oh, altar, altar." He says, "The Lord says, you're going to come down." And he does. He obeys God. He prophesies against the altar. And then this prophet comes to him and says, hey, that's the word of the Lord. It's going to come to pass. He says, "Why don't you come on home with me? Come on home with me and eat dinner and have something to drink." And the prophet says, no, I can't do that because the Lord told me, dumb prophet, you don't have to tell everybody what the Lord told you. Just listen to what the Lord told you. Just do what he told you to do, right? No, this prophet running off at the mouth. "The Lord told me not to come back." This is what the prophet said to him. He says, then the king said to the man of God, "Come home with me and refresh yourself and I will give you a reward. I will give you a reward." Now, the prophet didn't go back with the king, but he did go back with the lying prophet. And what was his reward? Oh, a lion found him and killed him because he disobeyed God. That's what happened. Now, that's not going to happen to you. I'm just saying, in the Old Testament, he didn't obey God. But he was looking for a reward in the wrong place. But all that we do as unto the Lord. And if we're doing it as unto him, then our expectation is from him. Now, it's nice when you clean the bathrooms. Tori cleaned the bathrooms for Daphne this, because it's Mother's Day. And so Daphne likes the house clean. Daphne will get in there. Like I told you about her balancing the checkbook. She won't stop. She get in that house and be tearing it up. And so Tori, cleaned the bathroom so she wouldn't have to do that. And Mama, very thankful, very thankful. I didn't make it to clean anything. I cleaned myself, but I didn't make it past that. But she's very thankful when I clean myself. Amen. So there is something that we brothers can do. You understand? Amen. but I said that to say that there's a greater reward. There's a greater reward. Job 34:11 says, "For he repays," Job speaking of God, "for he," God, "repays man according to his work, and he makes man to find a reward according to his way." But Psalm 127, verse 3, was Ruth's greatest reward. Psalm 127, verse 3 says, "Behold, children are heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Now, Boaz said to Ruth, "The Lord repay you and the Lord reward you." And what happens? You know the story of Ruth. The fruit of the womb is his reward. God rewarded Ruth with a son through Boaz, the one who was blessing her. And so we see that according to Boaz's blessing for God to repay her, God to reward her, that God did far more than was ever in the heart of Naomi and Ruth. They were back, understanding. In that time, women depended on men. Women didn't work. They didn't have jobs. They depended. That's why when Elimelech died, the husband and both sons died, all of their providence, all of their ability to sustain themselves was gone. Literally gone. That's why Ruth is gleaning in the field of this man, because they don't work. And they can't provide for themselves. And so if anything, they were just hoping to scrounge around and perhaps get something to eat, depend on other people. But Naomi wasn't looking for any children. Hello. No one looking for that. But God had it in his mind that he was going to repay. Let me tell you, mothers, God has it in his mind how he's going to reward you. for all that you have done for those in your family. And Kweku, that includes you as a father to ministering to mommy. Amen. That includes you. God has it in his mind how he's going to reward you, Jessica, for how you've poured into your all these children, all these ones that you've loved and you've cared for over all these years. God has it in his mind how he's going to do it, Diane. Oh, and how you've poured into so many of these young ladies. Amen. So many over all these years. God has it in his mind. And it's beyond. Why? It's beyond what we could imagine, because his ways are not our ways. His ways are not our ways. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. They're higher. And so what child did he give Ruth? He gave Ruth Obed, who was the grandfather of King David. Not only did he give her a child, he gave her a son. Not only did he give her a son, he gave her the son of the greatest king ever to live in Israel. The king who represented the Messiah, the king whose life foreshadowed the life of the Messiah who was to come, being called the Son of David. All right, so the last line of this blessing in verse 12, he said, the Lord repay your work and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Under whose wings we have come for refuge. And I think that for me, with this whole Me Too movement and the way it has exposed that wherever there is power, there is abuse. Wherever there's power, there's abuse. When in the kingdom of God, and I remember telling my son this for years as he was growing up. Now he's a grown man now, but he was growing up. And I always instruct him, son, God made you strong. Not to beat your sister, not to beat up your sister. I said, somebody, did I hear amen? I heard amen coming behind it. I said, God made you strong, son, not to beat up your sister, but to protect your sister. God made men strong in order to protect and to provide for them. And that's why what we see happening in the world, and I believe it's a move of God. God is exposing, pulling the curtain back off of this power being used for people's own gain. When he purposed it to be used for that woman to run up underneath and come alongside and to be sheltered. See? And so in this story, you didn't see Boaz manipulating and abusing this foreigner, which he well could have. And the Me Too movement, they said, listen, with the whole illegal immigrant thing, it's at a level you would not believe. Why? Because they can't go to the police. They don't run and go tell anybody. Why? Because they're not supposed to be here anyhow. And so these men are abusing these poor women. At levels you would not believe, according to the articles that I've read, breaks your heart. I'm sitting there crying. I'm saying, Lord Jesus, God. Yeah, and every time I read, he's like, yeah, and this is why my son had to go to the cross. Because nothing will fix this. There's no redemption for this outside of Christ. Man is hopelessly lost and depraved and trapped in darkness, slave to his own sin. And so the scripture, so Boaz says to her, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Now, Boaz is referencing the God of Israel. According to Psalm 36 in verse 7, David said, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Under the shadow of your wings. Psalm 57 and 1 says, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. Psalm 61, 4, I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Psalm 63 and 7, because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. Psalms 94 and 91 and 4, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. Then, of course, in Matthew 23, Jesus talked about Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets. How often I wanted to gather your children together under as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. God was willing, but they weren't. And so Boaz paints this portrait of, which many of them would have seen all around, hens and birds who would gather their young to protect them and use their own body to shield them and to keep them from harm and danger. Ultimately, God would use Boaz in the bringing to pass of the blessing that he pronounced over Ruth. He says, you're running to the God of Israel for him to stretch out his wings over you. And Boaz ended up being the instrument that stretched himself out over Ruth and provided not only for her physically, not only for Naomi physically, but when they had that child, their posterity was taken care of. God blessed them under whose wings they had ran for refuge. So I said all that to say this. God really blessed Ruth through Naomi and made both of them mothers, a mother and a grandmother. And not on any mother and grandmother, but a mother and grandmother in the lineage of Christ. Hello. Mothers in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So take heart, every mother, for God will reward your work. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we bless you now. We thank you for your desire, and we thank you for your work in us through Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you for and love the mothers that you have given us. We love the families that you birthed us into. Lord, for you, oh God, are wise in all of your ways, oh Lord. We ask your blessing upon our mothers, our grandmothers, Lord, our sisters. Lord, we just bless them, and we thank you for the work and the love and the gentleness and the passion that they pour into us, Lord, in serving and in every way caring, Lord, and nurturing, Lord, our families. We bless them, Father. We pray that you would keep them this day and cause them to grow in every way in Christ Jesus, Lord, into your image and into your likeness, Lord, that Christ might be glorified and they might be blessed richly in their lives. We ask this all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone said amen. Amen and amen. God bless you real good.